This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Good evening and welcome to The Informer. Dean Beck with you tonight. Well, climate change for most of us is undeniable, but we have to do our own little bit if we're going to make a difference. We'll talk to the festival director of the Sustainable Living Festival to find out just how we can make a difference. As the end of midsummer becomes closer and closer, it means for me the start of a new festival for Melbourne's festival season. We are the festival city, and the Sustainable Living Festival is about to get underway. It is my great pleasure to welcome the festival director, Luke Taylor. Thank you very much for joining us on The Informer.
Thank you for having me.
Luke, your festival's been going for how long?
This is the 18th festival.
Got it right yet?
Not quite. We're still in a state of unsustainability, so we haven't got it right yet.
Is that the truth? But we have made inroads.
Definitely, absolutely. Really, that's what the festival's all about, is the celebration and the showcase of all the amazing stuff which is happening really right around the country. I mean, we've really put the focus this year on the festival as a national event. We have local, of course, here in Melbourne, talent and speakers and presenters, but we also have a lot of national and this year some great international talent as well.
Well, you do manage to draw some of the biggest and best from around the world. You have one guest coming out from the US who, I believe, sued the US government. What's that about?
Well, he's in the process of suing the US government. It's a case against the federal government, the US federal government, which is an interesting time. The case was actually presented while Obama was in office, but of course, as the
Trump's going to have to clean up the mess. Is that what you're saying?
Look, anything is possible. Anything seems to be possible under in this era. He's a group of this to set the scene here. He's a 16-year-old climate activist. And he started when he was 9 years of age in his environmental activism. This guy is one of the most articulate, creative, and just a powerhouse when it comes to rallying the troops and really giving, I think, some really well-needed new inspiration into our movement.
He's addressed international leaders in the United Nations.
He's addressed the United Nations. He's led delegates. He's led rallies. He appears regularly on international media. He's coming to Melbourne for a series of events as part of an Australian tour for the festival. He really is a must-see. He's the feature festival guest, and he's going to tell us all about how the law case is going at the moment.
His name is, because I'm going to leave it to you.
His name is, get this, it's Xutezcat Martinez. Now, he has his father as part of the Aztec tradition, so he has an indigenous connection to America, and he really is one of the most inspirational leaders of our time. For the next 5 years of his life, you can only sort of imagine what could come of it. I think he's really going to take the environment movement forward into the next coming decade.
Why is he suing the US government?
For inaction on climate change.
For inaction?
Sorry, we should have said
right.
That. Yeah, a group.
Right.
His whole position is that the generation that's in power now is failing the world dramatically. And it's not, we now know from the evidence of climate change that all the current generations and obviously future generations are going to be impacted by climate change.
At what point do they become no longer negligent but culpable?
Well, that's right, yeah. And really, that's what he's putting forward, and I think it's a landmark case. Because we're going to be watching this case very, very carefully.
It's a gutsy move.
Absolutely. And no doubt there are certainly other people around that are, you know, watching it and thinking about, you know who is responsible. And the information that we have at hand now, and if we have that information at hand, the decisions that we're making, whether it be in government decision-making or corporate decision-making, or individual action decision-making, we have a huge responsibility.
So if you want to be inspired, challenged, and you actually need a rocket to do a few things yourself, get along to see
Chutezcat Martinez
on Saturday the 11th of February, part of this year's Sustainable Living Festival. Luke Taylor is my guest, Festival Director. Let's turn our attention to a couple of other guests that you're bringing out. Soren Hermansen.
Hermansen. He's a Danish energy magician, is what we're calling him, because this guy is responsible for the world's first 100% renewable energy island, and their community was all driven by a local community. And so this is a fantastic example when people say you can't do stuff, you can't run on solar, you can't do on a wind. I mean, this is just completely untrue. And there are examples all around the world where there's leading communities are leading the charge in renewable energy. And Soren is coming to Melbourne as part of the. But part of the Community Energy Congress, which is happening on the 27th and the 28th of February. And if people want to know, local communities want to know how to galvanise themselves and get into action to prepare their communities to the transition for 100% renewables, then this is the event to go to. Soren's also speaking at a special keynote that we're doing at the festival's big weekend. And it's another must-see because the story that he's got is they did this transition in their community in less than 10 years.
So did Adelaide, but apparently it's not working so great over there.
Well, that's what some people want us to think,
right,
Dean. There's a lot of people that want us to think particular things, and they will do all sorts of things to try and make us think that way.
And we, of course, get arguments about base load, something, whatever. Is that no longer relevant, that argument? Can we achieve?
Absolutely. I mean, this has been proven now time and time again. One of the first landmark studies that was done was in partnership with Melbourne University and Beyond Zero Emissions. I think some of your listeners will know Beyond Zero Emissions and the amazing work that they've done. Other studies are around the world by leading energy experts, and you know, these are major research bodies and universities who have done the work in saying that certainly here in Australia and not to mention other parts around the world, if you wanted to go to 100% renewable energies in this country, you could do it. You could pick up the phone now and start organising it right now. You know, it's only the social and the political will that is in our way.
Ah, ain't that the truth? Turning our attention to a little bit of history here. Back in World War II, the response regarding our food supply called upon all people to contribute. Tell us a bit about what history can tell us in this space.
Well, this is interesting because I think, you know, when we talk about the transition that we need to make in order to tackle the climate problem more, or even to, you know, start to work towards a, you know, a sustainable society, many people will say, you know, things can't be done. And this is a bit of a controversial area because most of us hate talking about war. Most of us associate war with obviously terrible things, and that is, you know, that's true. But it's really interesting when you look at some of the social movements that were connected to the war and some of the what you know, classically has been called mobilisation, the mobilisation of citizens.
We discovered that women could do things other than cooking.
There you go. I mean, absolutely.
Extraordinary.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I mean, one of the things that Andrew Gaynor's going to be talking about is this large mobilisation which was done in the Second World War around Grow Your Own. It was the Grow Your Own campaign, and it was massive. It was part of a whole series of social mobilisations that were part of the war effort, the home war effort. You know, we're all familiar with that concept. So she's very interested in this looking at the historical components of that and saying, you know, is there, you know, the opportunity for us to use that as a model for looking at our own food security and the way that we can reduce our impact through our food systems, you know, for a safe climate and for sustainability.
You only have to look at how recycling was mobilised during the war to see how effective that was. I mean, granted, it was used for armaments and that sort of stuff, but at least we were reutilising materials that were otherwise going to waste.
Absolutely. And I mean, there's some, you know, if you Google war, you know, wartime effort and grow your own, or there's all these old wartime posters, wartime effort posters, and some of them, they're, you know, hysterical. You know, there was a whole, you know, car share campaign.
Right, yeah.
Car sharing.
And here we are thinking that's a new thing today.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of these concepts, you know, have been, you know, around for a long time. And so, you know, when we're talking about how do we do things, we know the situation. The situation is that there's already way too much carbon in the atmosphere now, which has pushed us into an unsafe climate. We're living now in an unsafe climate. It's not something in the future. It's currently happening right now. And then the thing is that if we want to get to a safe climate position, then we're going to have to move as fast as humanly possible, basically. We have to start to work out in a very innovative way, which we have the capacity and the creativity of humans to work out solutions to these problems. But speed of action is a critical component that we need to factor into our strategies around sustainability and climate change.
Andrew Gaynor's presentation, The Wartime Victory Garden, is part of your big weekend. Tell me about the big weekend, because it's sort of an all-festival buy-in for everybody.
It's a big weekend, and this year's, it fits right into our festival theme, because this year's festival theme is Big Impact for Big Change.
Which is a case I have to, really, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, that's the call out. And so the big weekend, which runs from the 10th to the 12th of February, down in its usual spot, down along the river, right along the Yarra River there on Boorong Ma and Federation Square. So we've got over 100 exhibitors, whole talks, workshops, program, whether it's information on, you know, your home gardening, tiny houses, right through to some of the major talks and workshops, as we've mentioned, with some of our international guests as well. So there's stacks to do over that weekend. Check out the program. Obviously, the full program's online as well.
At SLF, for Sustainable Living Festival, slf.org.au, which is where you'll find the Sustainable Living Program. We're speaking with Luke Taylor, who is the Festival Director. And, Luke, more of your guests include the fabulous Costa, who we know from Gardening Australia.
Yeah, Costa's back again for our great local lunch, and this fits in right in with Andrea's theme of the Grow Your Own campaign. This is an event which is now in its third year, and it's what we've called a crowd farming exercise. So that is that we've crowd farmed the ingredients of a huge community feast from backyard gardens and producers right across Melbourne. So if you're interested in coming to the feast, you actually need to grow some of the food for the feast
and contribute
in your own backyard.
Right.
Exactly. So it'll end up being featuring over 250 local growers, some of the best local growers around Melbourne and producers of local food from around Melbourne. And then once they've grown the food and harvest the food, and then we collect all the food, and then we cook all the food, and then obviously we get to eat all the food.
Wow. So when has this process started? Because it must be very much underway.
It is. It is. There's two ways you can actually win tickets to this. There's another way, which if you're unable to grow the food, because we're obviously getting very close to harvesting the food this week, next week, you can post a local lunchie, which is a selfie of you and some local food that you've either cooked or that you've eaten for lunch. And you can post that on our website. I'll post that on your Instagram and social links. And then the best local lunchie selfies will win a double pass to the local lunch.
Not a bad way to be a part of Costa's great local lunch. Now, we are in the midst of a climate crisis. We are reminded of that constantly, and we only have to look at the reports of the Bureau of Meteorology to be reminded of that. What can we really do, and where can we really go, and is it too late? I mean, there's kind of a feeling, I think, for some of us, that it's like, well, we're buggered.
Well, I think that. Well, I think we will be buggered if we think that way, Dean. Come on. I mean,
I mean, you're doing your absolute best to stop that, but at what point are
we buggered? No, I mean, look, really, seriously. I mean, I know a lot of people could be quite cynical and say, well, you know, power is out of our hands, and therefore, you know, we all do give up and just, you know, do the best we can, or, you know, go out with a party. But look, I don't buy into that. I really think that we have the biggest challenge that we've got at the moment, I'll put it this way, is that not enough of us perceive the threat that's severe enough. We're not calculating the threat, the risk enough. Once we do, I believe that we will start to shift to at the speed and scale that we need to.
Right, right.
We largely think, certainly in the West, where we're not so affected in some ways, but we largely think that it is a problem, and many of us think it's a big problem. But when you couch the problem in the sense of an emergency, it's a climate emergency situation, then it starts to, you know, offer up the suggestion of, okay, well, we need an emergency response. An emergency response, and we're very well positioned, and we have, you know, a lot of practice. You know, we know how to respond to emergencies. You know, you assess the problem. You know, you work out the suite of solutions. You do it in a timely manner. You know, and these are the things, you know, we're led to believe that it's really difficult, you know, to implement the things that we need to, because there's a lot of vested interests in us staying the same way. But it's totally possible for us to work out many of these environmental and climate issues. We've just got to understand the level of threat that we're facing and then respond effectively.
But beef fart and meat is a major issue when growing it agriculturally, and we like to eat meat here in this country. We love our barbecues. Is that going to be the undoing of us all? Do we have to all turn vegetarian? I mean, and is it too late even for that?
Well, you've just hitting on our major great debate topic this year, Dean, which is meet your climate crisis. Is animal agriculture the biggest threat to the planet? And we've got a stack full panel of debaters ready to get into this topic, because we've been noticing really this issue. There's been a lot of talk, you know, for decades now about the transition that we need to make in our energy system and so forth, and we know that alone isn't going to solve the climate problem. So many people have been talking, you know, certainly in the last 5 years or so, in particular, not to say that it hasn't been a theme that people have presented before, but it's been gathering this issue of animal agriculture and its impact on the climate crisis has been gathering some steam, and we've decided to bring it to the forefront and to bring some of the major, I was going to say stakeholders, to the table. To address this issue and to put forward their case of how do we tackle the agricultural industry and the emissions related in particular livestock.
It's a third of methane emissions of global methane emissions.
The stats are pretty staggering, and so it does present this as a big issue for people, because I'll tell you we think that it's probably no surprise, but we think that the energy issue is one that's obviously heavily debated and controversial. This is going to be the most fiery debate that we've certainly had.
Can't we genetically engineer grasses not to create the farting cows?
Yep, there is. In fact, one of the speakers from Melbourne University will be talking about a range of options that there are in terms of how we can adapt the industry, the livestock industry, in ways that may reduce methane levels.
Eat more legumes and fart more yourself. Maybe that's the option. I don't know.
Luke, I just had lentil soup for lunch.
Of course you did. You have yet again put together an extraordinary program for this year's Sustainable Living Festival. I always love your commitment and optimism in this space, because it must sometimes be challenging to remain on top.
Yeah, it is. It definitely has its moments. But I mean, we love it. We thrive, and the whole organisation does, because I think it's easy for us in a way to remain optimistic, because we're in it, and we're connected to so many people who are working either locally or internationally that are doing the most incredible things. So when you asked that question before, is it too late? Well, it's obvious to us that it's not, because we see that the work that's being done, and we see the opportunity that's there. There's the reality of the situation as well, which is that, there are, obstacles and barriers that are in the way. But we've just got to keep working through those. And, we love the festival and love working on it.
You've had some tremendous little sort of programs of recycling stuff and fixing stuff and that sort of thing in the past. Is that part of this year's program as well?
There are. So, of course, there's not just the events for the big weekend of the 10th to the 12th, but the festival runs for a whole three-week period. So we have over 200 events that are represented in that wider program. I really invite everybody to jump online, go through all the events, not just the big weekend. We want people to get out right across Melbourne over those 3 weeks. Enjoy the whole festival period and events and activities across the city of Melbourne and obviously beyond.
Big impact for big change. It is the National Sustainable Living Festival. Luke Taylor has been with us on The Informer. Thank you very much for making yourself available.
Thanks, Dean.
And the festival goes from the 4th to the 28th of February. Find out the full program at slfforfred.org.au. That's it for The Informer tonight. You can catch a podcast of today's edition at joy.org.au/The Informer. You can follow The Informer at The Informer Joy on Twitter, and follow me on Twitter at Dean Beck on Air. Till next time, keep well. Take care. Bye for now.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.